manure. But all right.
Hello, Andrew. Fine to see you. Morning, folks. It's good to be here. It's Thursday morning. I'm going to read a short psalm. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And we're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's no peace here at the moment, but there won't be real peace until our Savior comes back for his own blood-bought people. Intimations for this week in the will of the Lord. Our communion today, Abdi that loves the Lord and are born again through the precious blood of the Savior, are welcome. There's a place set for you, and you're welcome this morning to partake of the Lord's table. It's a wonderful privilege you can this do in remembrance of me. Tonight in the back hall is Tea and Testimony with Ian and Rosie Sanders at the Seafarers Christian Friends Society. Tea at 5:30 for a 6 p.m. start. Knit and Natter, 2 p.m. on Monday. Pilates, the usual times. Tuesday night, 6 p.m. till 7. Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. until 10:30. Saturday, 9:30 a.m. The Wednesday night Bible study and reading and prayer meeting this Wednesday will be finishing John's Gospel. There are daily readings and Book of Romans beside the offering plate, so help yourself. God willing, we will work through Romans with our Wednesday night meetings in May and June before the summer holidays. Remember those who are ill, in hospital, and laid aside. And next week, as a speaker, I'm not sure who it is, it's a stranger, I think, Andrew Young. Oh, Andrew. Ah, sorry, Andrew. Andrew Young is with God now, it's all in the will of the Lord, and hopefully we'll manage to join together in the Lord's Day again next week. We're going to open our service by singing the hymn number 60, to God be the glory, great things he hath done.
Thank you.
I'm going to try something new today. It's a lovely hymn that was written by David Runcie, and the tune was, he composed it in the words of David Runcie, and it's lovely words concerning the Lord's table. It's a lovely tune, off easy to pick up. We'll give it a go, and if we didn't get through it, I'll have a backup. But Isabel's been practicing. Aye, that's what I did. Thank you, Isabel. A few verses in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, reading from verse 29. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spat upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own garment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink, and they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And I read a further 20 verses in verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, This man calls for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let him be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Wonderful words as regards the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but very, very sad words as well. Words that we do not normally think about, but he went to that cross of Calvary willingly for you and for me. And that's only privilege that we have today, and only reason we have, as God's word says, do this in remembrance of me. We come to meet the person, the Lord Jesus. Jesus, our precious Savior, who was born, in Luke 2 and 11 says, for unto us is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He died, Matthew 27 and 36 says, and sitting down, they watched him there. What a spectacle. The Lord Jesus, the blood spilt, and them sitting down, watching him as he died in that cross of Calvary for you and me. John 20 and 30 says, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But thank God, he rose again. The angel said to Mary, he is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. That's a person we're here to remember this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look upward to the living Lord in glory. Again, it's a lovely story of Stephen as he was being stoned for his martyrdom. As he says, he looked steadfastly up into heaven, and he saw, as it were, the Son of Man seated at his Father's, standing at his Father's right hand. We read him seated at his rightful place and his throne in glory alongside his Father. But here was Stephen seeing him standing. And I believe, well, I'm a hurt, I didn't again, but this is just what I rely on. I believe he was standing with his ears open. Come home, Stephen. Come home. Welcome home. Enter into thy rest. And it's wonderful to ken. Stephen said that same words. Lay not this to their charge, as he gave up the ghost. We look upward to the living Lord and the Savior in Jesus. The theme we announce is death. His body, it says, broken. But Psalm 34 says, he keepeth all his bones. Not one of them shall be broken. John 19:36, for these things were done, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. A bone of him should not be broken. The soldiers didn't need to break Jesus' leg to kill him, to get him to die faster and quicker. He'd already passed into the presence of his Father. His blood shed, Hebrews 9. Indeed, under the law, all things are purged, purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. We've looked upward. We look at the Savior. We look backward to the cross. Just read about that. To the sin that the Lord took upon himself, my sin and your sin, nailed to the cross, we read in Colossians 14. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. And the event we await, we're looking onward, upward, backward to the cross, but here we go. We were waiting this, his coming again, onward and upward to the coming back, glory of the Lord Jesus. Read John 14 if you get a chance. Acts 1 and 10. And while he looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, if ye men are glad, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What a prospect and the future we have as believers in the Lord Jesus. One day, maybe not in the far too distant future, he's coming back for his own blood-bought people. It's wonderful to ken. We're coming to the table this morning, and I'll read a few verses in Corinthians, if you just bear with me. The Bible's fought a bit. So. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Would someone like to give thanks for the broken body and the bread this Sunday morning? After the same manner, he took the cup, and after he had given thanks. Would someone like to give thanks for the cup, for the precious blood that's been shed so freely for us?
Wounded for me. There on the cross, Jesus was wounded for me. was opened and our Saviour arose, and is alive forevermore. Oh Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, this morning, Father, for all that you did for us at the place called Calvary. Help us, Lord, as we drink the wine, Father, just to remember him, Father, and to praise him and to thank him for all that he's done for us. Thank you, Lord, for sharing you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. We praise you, Lord, in your lovely and fearless and matchless name. Amen.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread, eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for this wonderful opportunity and privilege that you've granted to us this Lord's Day morning to partake of this bread and the wine, reflecting the death and the resurrection and the glorification of our Saviour, the body that was bruised and battered more than any man, the blood that was spilled upon that ground in Calvary. We thank you for the wonderful privilege we have, and from grateful hearts this morning that we've been able to partake of these things only until you come. So thank you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for granting us this privilege. And we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Could we sing the last verse, John, Hemi? Is that all right, Isabel? The last bit of it. Right, let's fix up on here, right.
Yes.
yours of all, and John, for setting that up. Now, we're going to have Bible reading. Aaron's got to come and he's a Bible reading. It's for Revelation. If you want to open God's Word, Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 11.
The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of his prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Luke, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea.
Lovely. Thank you very much. We'll sing another hymn. Clocks go furling round here, full butte. 808, it was down at the feet of Jesus on that happy, happy day.
Thank you.
Let's just bow our heads and commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wonderful privilege of being here this Lord's Day morning. We thank you for the health and strength you've given us to be able to attend here, given us the desire to be here, Father. And we thank you for that you've instilled that in our hearts, to meet together around your word, your precious word, your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing straight to the heart and the bone and the marrow of men and women. And we thank you that your word is precious. And so, Father, we just pray for those who have loved to have been here the day of our fellowship this morning, those who are laid aside, Father, we name them over in our hearts, and we just ask it, whatever their circumstances at this time, that you will meet them at the point of their every need. We thank you, Father, your spirit goes before you. Your spirit comes with us. Your spirit is here, Father, and we thank you for that. And we just ask it through the guidance of your spirit this morning, our hearts may be filled with your word. We may come to a knowledge again of how precious your word is. We thank you. We have a freedom this morning to gather together. Lots of places this morning gonna do that. Meeting in secret, meeting in hiding places. And we just pray for your people worldwide, Father, who have been persecuted and killed and imprisoned for even owning a Bible. But we thank you, Father, that your word will not return to you void, but it shall accomplish that for which you sent it. And we read in your word that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I thought these would like to stamp these things out and stop it from being spread, Father, all down through the ages. But we thank you that your word is alive. Your word is precious. And so, Father, we just ask that you'll continue with us as we worship again. And as we read your word and meditate upon it for a short time, we just ask, Heavenly Father, that each head bowed in your presence this morning will receive a word directly from myself. Take the precious pages, Father. Illuminate your word, because it is precious to us. And so, Father, just continue with us and be with us throughout the next week, Wiley. For we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll take time and sing another hymn. 847. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. That's what we're going to try and do today. See what we think. Oh, the love of God, it's vast or far, wonderful to care.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for these lovely words that we've been singing. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to do that and say that. So, Father, I just ask that you'll illuminate the sacred pages, bring all things to my remembrance, that your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, will be lifted up this morning in this place to the blessing of each and every head bowed in your presence. For we ask it in his name, the name that is above every other name, the name of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. My topic today, my subject of topic today, is going to be the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And it's wonderful to ken. We read, Aaron read that verses in Revelation, verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the last, saith the Lord, which is, that's the present, now, this very minute, which is, which was, that's in the times past when he was in Calvary's cross, and is to come. That's the future for you and me. He is coming back. I believe that with all my heart, and trust that you, Dev, and I'm not sure you, Dev, but it's something that we've got to look forward to. He is coming back. How long is it going to be? We could say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, and he will come. There's nothing more certain. The world will tell you something different, but that's the thing. He is coming back. He's the Alpha and Omega. I am. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and the last. Isaiah 48 and 12 says, Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. See, there's lots of names for the Lord Jesus. We can add the light, the bread, the power, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, Yeshua, salvation. Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, apparently. And yet I care much about the Greek alphabet. There's 24 letters in that alphabet against 26 in the English or English alphabet. But you can, this book that we've just been reading out of has used that 24 letters and filled this book, filled it with God's word, with that 24 letters. And it's lovely you can out. The beginning and the ending of the alphabet will include everything written in God's infallible word. So Christ is all in all to his people, the beginning and the end of everything. The English dictionary contains thousands of words from just 26 letters of our alphabet. So Christ covers the whole of the believer's life and hope in the 24 simple things. We read first in Christ's eternity. Isaiah 9 and 6, it says the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 48 and 12, as we've read earlier on, I'll read it again. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first and the last. So the last thing is it wonderful to ken that he was there from the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we read in the last chapter of Revelation, behold, I come quickly. He's coming back, friends. He's on his way. I believe he's not far away. He's very close. Behold, before Abraham was, I was. And we can say in verse 8 of that chapter, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wonderful to ken. Romans 10 and 14 says, just let me read it to you. I have a few scripture verses, but we'll see what time we have. And Romans 10 and 9. Oh, it's down to 14, sorry. How then, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's verse 13. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard and not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, the infallible word of God. You see, our great high priest who lives, the priest of old went into the Holy of Holies with his bells and the tassels of his gowns. So that if he was moving about, they knew that he was still there, that he was still able to do that. But do you know that that priest, Old Testament times, every one of them had a lifespan. They had their 100 years, 110, 140 years even, some of them. But they were called home, and they had to be replaced. But we have a great high priest interceding for you and for me this morning. He's alive. He's born again, he's raised again. He rose from the dead the third day according to God's word, God's infallible word. And we have to believe that as believers this morning, that God raised him from the dead the third day, and he's seated at his Father's right hand interceding for you and for me this morning. And believe you me, I need all the help I can get. He's helping me all through this life, walking through stages in life, in different seasons, and I can assure you, we need God's presence with us, all the way through. It's wonderful to care that he sticks closer than any brother, the priest, who had the great high priest. You see, the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost and says, it is finished. But it wasn't finished, it was just starting. His eternality was just starting. And we read of that, he's from everlasting to everlasting. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You see, as I'm saying, he's here forevermore. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing in this life is eternal, folks. Family, friends, fortunes, possessions, can all pass away in this changing world. And I've just written down here, trust Jesus today and be sure of eternity with him. There is an eternity, whether it's going to be spent in heaven or hell, there is an eternity. And the only way you can make your claim sure and your place sure, because he's going to prepare a place for us. And the only way we can claim that place if we've been born again through the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, born again, call it what you like, but salvation is free for the whosoever will. Christ eternality, Christ ministry. With the letters alphabet, we build words to communicate with them, one another. Jesus said in John 1 and 14, I'm going to read that to you. It's all well-known scriptures. You probably be able to quote this off by heart. But it's God's word. And my memory is nothing like what it used to be. And I'm going to read it to you. Just take a second to read it. It's all well-known scripture. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Jesus said, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? And go moving down to verse 13, it says, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Lovely you cannot. Lovely you know that Christ's ministry is a thing that we can pick up on every day of our lives. Hebrews 1 and verses 1 to 3. You can read up and you can hear. God has spoken. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? A short time I will come. John 7 and 46, the soldier said, Never man spake like this man. Never man spoke the way Jesus spoke, and never will be. John 3, 14 and 18 says, I'm going to read it to you. It's, we can quote other scriptures off the heart, I'm sure we can. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why was that proclaimed? Even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. We'll go back to the Old Testament for that. We can see the picture of the Lord Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Folk thinks the Old Testament is out of date. It's past its best. It's so relevant to the day and to the New Testament. Why must the Son of Man be lifted up? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Christ's ministry. Matthew 24 and 35 says, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never, never ever pass away. Christ's ministry. I'm moving on, folks. Time's gone. Christ's sufficiency. He has everything covered without A to Z, Alpha and Omega. When Jesus is saying that he's Alpha and Omega, he's saying, I am all sufficient. I'm as much as is needed, equal to what is needed or specified, enough and adequate. There's nothing missing. Colossians 1 and 2. The word Paul uses the word 14 times, all sufficiency. I'd read that Colossians 2 and 1 and 2, and I'm just putting that in my mind, the all-sufficient chapter. I think it's 16 or 17 alls in that two chapters. All-sufficient, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. Wonderful to come. Wonderful to contain. Are you hurting? He's sad, empty, grieving, forsaken, lonely. Christ can fill your life. He can meet your every need. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, Paul, and he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I've applied that. Excuse me, to my life quite a lot this past three, 4 years. Christ's sufficiency. And moving on, friends, Christ's victory. "It is finished," was his last shout. "Into thy hand I commend my spirit." It's not finished. It just started. It just started at that time as the Lord gave up the ghost. And you can, time, I went up speaking about time the day, had a problem, I had a struggle getting something out of my mind, in my head. And I went up speaking in time. Time's precious. But there's a time coming, there's a time for nothing. Everything under heaven has a season. The beginning. Whatever he starts, you see, he finishes. Now like me, some of maybe you may always full of good intentions. You get this day and get yon day, and the end of the week comes and when I even started it. I'm speaking for myself. And I even started. You see, whatever he starts, he finishes. But there's still so much left undone. The beginning, Alpha, Genesis, new world. The end is Revelation, Omega, a new heaven. Revelation speaks of a finished, completed work of Christ, and he's coming again. I'm going to read a few verses to you. Oh, well-known script. We probably could, as I'm saying, quote them off the top of our head, but it's God's word. And as I'm saying, my memory is nothing like it used to be. And I like to get God's word because it's an infallible word. And we have to get it right. This be all met like it. How did this? I kind of get used to this new Bible. I'm just kind of get used to it. This is in 1 Thessalonians 4. Reading for verse 13. Oh, well known scripture. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren and sisters, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if ye have believed that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For if we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And that chapter finishes off with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And just trust that's a comfort to you as it's a comfort to me this morning. It's a finished and full salvation, never to be repeated. I'm going to just finish off with this, with seven firsts. First begotten of the Father, Hebrews 1 and 6. First born from the dead, Colossians 1 and 18. The first of every creature, Colossians 1 and 15. First to love us, 1 John 4 and 19. First to preach the gospel, Hebrews 2 and 3. First fruits of them that sleep. And the last, Revelation 1, 11, 22, and 13. I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega. Friends, that's the Saviour I'm trying to point to us this morning. We have much to be thankful for. We have a wonderful Saviour. And it's wonderful again that we have a heavenly home waiting for us. We've been afforded a place at the table this morning, and we're only doing that until he comes, and then we'll do it anew in that heavenly home throughout all eternity. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of reading your word and opening your word. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the infallible word that is written therein, and we just trust that even this morning we will be lifted up in our own spirits, that one day we shall see Jesus. If we are believers and born again through the precious blood of the Saviour, we have a heavenly home that is ready and waiting for us. So, Father, continue with us throughout this day. Bless your word wherever it's been preached this morning, and even all through this Lord's Day, that there may be a precious, fresh ingathering of souls, new names written down in glory, and be never to be removed throughout all eternity. Accept our thanks in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. We'll just take time to sing 845. A pilgrim was I, and a wandering. We will care that, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Thank you again for this privilege, and we just ask if there's been anything said that is not in line or in unity with your word. Ask Heavenly Father, you'll take it away. Bless your word to our hearts this morning, Father. We thank you for the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. So, Father, I just ask that you'll part us with your richest blessing. Go with us where we would go and abide with us where we would abide until that great day dawns and all the shadows flee away, until our Lord and Savior comes back for his own blood-bought people and then forever with the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.